Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be across all 24 worldwide time zones. It's great to be here. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. I would like to welcome WDKD. That's WDKD in Kings Tree, South Dakota, to the network. 1310 on the dial. Hello, Dave Baker, who's the program director there. Glad to have you on board in the ever-growing number of affiliates. Now soared, you can't say it that way, having soared past 500. Way past 500. So, in this first hour, we will do Pure D open lines. In the next hour, we will take a break from the war, sort of, and we'll talk about the most amazing thing you've ever heard. This is a group of people called the Ghost Investigators Society. I think they're a society, aren't they? Let me see. Yep, society. They are a society. And what they do is, under very tight controls, they take tape recorders into graveyards and other places where spirits are known to frequent. They take brand new, never, ever recorded on tapes, and they search for electronic voice phenomena. Now, what is that? Well, it is apparently evidence of communication from the other side. Now, I suppose you can say, well, it's random noise on the tape, but it doesn't sound like random noise. You might say the whole thing is a hoax, and we'll argue against that one. The controls are very tight. There are many people involved. You can rail against what appears to be impossible if you wish. But when you hear these voices from the other side, you will think hard. Believe me, you will think about it very hard. What news is there? The government today struggled to make the nation's vast postal system, and it's no less than 800,000 employees, safe from anthrax. Now, President Bush said anybody who puts poison in the mail is a terrorist. Although, by the way, he is now saying there is no direct evidence to link the September 11th airliner attacks with the outbreaks of anthrax, but it seems awfully coincidental, doesn't it? A $100 billion tax relief bill seen by both sides either positively or negatively, in other words, it went down party lines pretty much, narrowly passed the Republican-led House today. It was a 216 to 214 vote. The bare minority, suggesting it will only help big business. The majority, barely a majority, suggesting that it will get the economy going. And they're probably right. You know, there is a truth in America. It's not necessarily one that I suppose we're proud of. Or maybe we are. Some are. And that is that big business is a big part of America. Big business and our economy are, to a great extent, make us what we are. Don't discount the people and what they believe and how they work and their ethics and morality, such as it is. I don't discount them. We are Americans. But to a large degree, big business and how it goes for big business dictates how the economy goes, and that, you know, it trickles all the way down to either jobs being available, mortgage money being available. It trickles directly to your pocketbook, in my pocketbook, all of us. So it's pretty important that it do well. Anyway, it's an age-old argument we certainly will not settle tonight. The Taliban has been taking pot shots at our airplanes with missiles and missing. As the airstrikes continue over Afghanistan, the Taliban decided to give it a shot, and they fired a few missiles at our planes, and they missed. But I'm sure they'll keep trying.
Federal officials and Bayer have come to an understanding and meeting of the minds. Apparently, Bayer is lowering the price for Cipro down to, I understand, 95 cents per pill. That's way down. The government has agreed to buy 100 million pills at 95 cents. If they buy another 100 million, I think it's 85 cents. And if they buy another 100 million, that would be roughly one pill for each person in America. Somewhere in between 200 million and 300 million, right? It would go down then to 75 cents per pill. So there you have it. That's basically the news as it is. The market bumped, I don't know, about 5 points, I think. You notice when it goes up, it doesn't go up very much. When it goes down, it really goes down. Been a lot of bad news. All right, so up and coming in a moment. Open lines. What's on your mind?
Weird stories on the radio? Must be Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, when I started doing this radio program, Jesse, half of the subjects I was really into, the paranormal, the unusual, ghosts and things like that.
Yep.
The conspiracy stories, you know, I was a little weary about these, other than the Kennedy assassination. And all of a sudden, I woke up. I simply woke up. Is that what happened with you too?
Yeah, that's when I really started to say, what is going on here? And I started to truly then investigate 9/11. And today, I don't believe the government story of 9/11. Here's the three options. Either we knew about it and allowed it to happen, or we knew about it and participated in it, or these were the dumbest buffoons that could have ever been in charge of our country, who could have all this pre-information. And I started to think they knew it was going to happen. They either are part of it or they allowed it to. There's no doubt in my mind.
Now we take you back to the night of October 24th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
As promised now, open lines. Any subject under the sun is fair game. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes.
Hi,
that
it's Maureen.
I'm sorry, I missed your name.
My name is Maureen.
Okay, welcome.
Hi. I'm so glad to be talking to you. How's your wife, Ramona?
She is great.
I'm asking because I'm Filipino, too.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Where from in the Philippines?
Well, I was born in Manila.
In Manila. All right.
And my sister and I, when I was two and my sister was one, we left the Philippines and the first place we lived was in New York.
That's quite a shock to the system, isn't it?
Yeah.
Manila to New York.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Anyway, what's up?
I have these two pictures I took in these really good pictures I took of the Whaley House. In Old Town of San Diego.
Yes, the haunted house.
Yeah, and I'd like to know, how do I send it to you? Because you won't accept mail.
That is a really, really good question right now. About the only thing you can do is send them by computer, because you are right, we are not opening mail.
Yeah, I'd like to know if you can tell me, how do I do that? Cause I don't have a computer.
Do you have a friend that has a computer?
No.
Really?
Should I go to, like, in Kinko's?
I think that, you know what? I think they will do it for you.
Yeah?
I believe they will.
Oh, okay.
That you just found you just answered your own question. Even better than I was thinking I could. That's fine. But you know what?
Huh?
Then you have to get them to me. And you can't do it in the mail.
so, I can drive there over to your place.
It may be that, no, please don't do that. Kinko's may then scan it and send it by email. Maybe they'll do that. Give it a try.
Okay. And also, I was waiting for you to talk to me. And you know, when the music was starting in the beginning,
yes,
I went over to my shelf here, my closet, and I was getting this tape of So I wanted to ask you, when are you going to be playing that GIS? When is it going to be on?
Tonight.
And then, yeah, and I go, no, it's hard. I heard you talking to them. I go, tonight. You said it's going to be on tonight. I go, oh, my God, they're on tonight?
Yes, and coming up in about 41 minutes, so hang in there. It really is a little much. I don't know whether you've ever heard the GIS people. And I suppose you can, you know, you can rationalize away what you're going to hear tonight. And, you know, that's fine. I don't mind. I offer it up for your consideration. The only thing I am sure about is this is legitimately done. So, you know, if you're going to bat it around and say it's baloney, then I think you at least have to contend intellectually with the manner in which this stuff is received. You've got to find some logical way, some good argument to argue it away, and I don't know of any. East of the Rockies, you are on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
I was going to speak to you about something else, but now that I hear what you're having on tonight.
Yes.
Just a quick story for you.
Sure.
Very quick.
Sure.
About 10 years ago, my grandfather unfortunately passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then two nights before he passed away, he was awake in the living room late in the evening. You know, when someone gets ill, they start losing their mind a little bit.
Yes.
You know, as they get elderly.
Yes, dementia.
So my grandmother comes down, finds him awake in the middle of the night, and he's looking out the front window, and he's telling my grandmother, he's saying, you know what, I think I'm going to die. And she's like, no, no. Well, he's looking outside, and he's saying, I see them digging my grave right now out in the front window.
Oh,
he's like,
I hope that we don't.
No, 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 listen at this. Just let me finish.
I was just going to say, I hope we don't get that kind of preview.
No, listen.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I see people digging it, but it's not my grave.
Oh.
It's my daughter's grave, you know, my mother's grave.
Yes.
So she's like, well, you know, tells the story to us. 2 days later, he dies. We go to the cemetery. Guess what?
What?
They actually did not dig his grave. They accidentally dug my mother's grave up.
Oh, my.
And he was foreseeing the whole thing before it even happened.
Wow.
As before he died. And he told us, and my grandmother told us this even before it happened.
Well, let me tell you something that I think. See if you agree with this.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me that little tiny children, you know, babies up to maybe a year and a half old.
Yes.
And really old people who have begun to suffer what we consider to be dementia, you know, that sort of thing, they have a whole lot in common.
Yes,
I agree. They're both more in touch with
the outer realm.
Yes, sir.
Which is almost what we need to look more to and forget about all this, what's going on Earth, and start looking more out in space what's going on.
People in the middle are all consumed with the business of life. And
exactly.
And
there is such a spiritual part to life that we don't even see.
They hardly have time for this, and I really believe that's why.
And that just showed me when that, it was such a spooky and in fact feeling that he was in touch. I've been listening to you for a while, and I think we've gotten away from the one thing that I've heard you speak of, and a lot of people, is the shadow people.
Oh, well, listen, sir, that has never gone away. I appreciate your call. Trust me when I say the shadow people have never gone away. I've had no less than half a dozen guests talk about them now. I've had so many thousands of emails about the shadow people, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Things, creatures seen just as a sort of a flash in the corner of the eye, and now people beginning to see them head on. Thing is, the majority of my guests that commented on the shadow people didn't think it was good. They really didn't think it was positive. The closest to positive we got, I think, was Ed Dames, who said these are merely shadows of ghosts. Which was an interesting theory, to be sure, but others who commented seemed to feel these were really negative entities for the most part. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Well, you went first. First on caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, this is John. Right now I'm southbound on I-15 toward L.A.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been thinking about these graphs that we made with the random number generators.
Yes.
And it would appear to me that those spikes are an event. And if they're an event, then Major Ed Dames should be able to remote view the event and see what caused that event or what the event was. And it seems to me that...
I think you're right. I think he could.
These people that are the terrorists, if they are truly religious, they would pray before their event. And it may be what that spike was before the Twin Towers fell.
This man, thank you very much, is absolutely right. It could be that. It could be a lot of things. The spikes began about 4 hours, I believe, 2 or 4 hours before the event. Really got big during the event and continued after the event. Now, the eternal question is, where did the spikes come from? Did they come from that side in anticipation? Did they come from our side in anticipation? There's just no way to know, and only further experimentation in this field would tell us. It's just that I have not completely reconciled my desire to go there yet. I'm really thinking very hard about the matter, and will continue to do so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Oh, no, I wasn't supposed to go there anyway. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art?
Yes. Another cell phone breaks through.
I was wondering if there's any way I can get in touch with Richard C. Hoagland and maybe acquire some information he was talking about with the assassins.
Well, any contact info would be on his website. I'd suggest that.
What is his website?
EnterpriseMission.com.
EnterpriseMission.com?
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Art.
You're very welcome. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
How you doing? Frankie.
Hey,
we know now you're by Boston.
Boston, huh? All right.
That guy out there on I-16, he had a really good point there. I was glad to hear that. I was like, think here. Oh, I saw something. I'm a little bit of a remote viewer, and I normally don't think of submarines. I have to get this off my chest. I've seen torpedoes.
Torpedoes?
Torpedoes. Before that, in a dream, I saw ships with a hole in the side of it.
That would be from torpedoes.
Yeah, and it kind of bugs me a little bit, but I got that off my mind.
But you had the hole before you had the torpedoes. That's very interesting. Usually you would imagine the torpedoes would come first and then the hole.
Right. Well, I viewed the torpedoes during a meditation. But
maybe your next vision will be of people in a factory making torpedoes. Who knows? There are so many with visions, and some say they remote view. Most of them, I think, mean I'm somewhat psychic. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Mark in Newport, listening on 1120 KPNW out of Eugene.
That's the way to do a promo.
I was wondering, 2 or 3 days ago, I get a Portland news station here in Newport, and news about 15 minutes before, they said something about a report about a crop duster spraying something on a riverboat.
Yeah, I've heard that one. That's been going around for 2-3 days now, yes.
Did you hear where it was or anything like that, or what's come of it?
It was in Mississippi, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything on the city they found off the coast of Havana?
Nothing new, except that every single source we have says it's a dead true story and it's going to be a monster in the press.
Okay, and they were supposed to release it September, and it probably got pushed back for obvious reasons.
Yes, for obvious reasons, indeed. National Geographic is dead in the middle of this, you know.
Okay, great.
All right.
Good night, sir.
All right, good night to you. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, this is Scott. I'm driving in Nebraska right now.
Boy, this is a truck driver night.
Yes, it is. I got an interesting story for you. Kind of go along with some of the stuff you talk about. I had a girlfriend of mine, bout of not feeling good, things going on with her. They diagnosed her with fibromyalgia.
Right.
And they said that she had possibly MS. Well, her twin sister lives in another state, was diagnosed with heart problems and went in and had a quadruple bypass. And the minute that her sister got into surgery, my girlfriend felt better.
Wow.
And, you know, it's kind of a weird thing goes on between twins. I just thought that might be an interesting little story for you, Art.
Well, listen, it is. The whole thing about twins is really, really interesting. The connection between twins is not to be argued. It, however, has been studied positively for a long, long time. There's no question about it. They have a much greater mind meld with each other than the rest of us on average. It's going to be open lines for another half hour, and then we go to the cemetery. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
You've been wrong, I rushed you wrong. You know it's just your foolish mind. Hey, look, got me on my knees, baby. Begging, darling, please, baby. Darling, don't you leave my room now. I tried to give you consolation.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
Good morning. We're going to listen to the other side tonight. Beginning in the next hour, the Ghost Investigators Society will be here, and they have actual recordings from the other side. Scoff if you will, but then it's incumbent on you to try and explain how it's done.
Now, we take you back to the night of October 24th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Hey, don't forget, Friday night, Saturday morning, the topic is going to be a challenge to you. Think outside the box. Think out of the box. And when you do, when you come up with the strangest, weirdest, most outlandish idea, some way that we can win this war, then you need to call me and tell me, and believe me, my listeners think so far out of the box that sometimes they can't even see it. So we're bound to get some pretty spiffy ideas already, I'm getting warnings, Art. You're going to give the enemy some great idea that our leaders will seize upon. Well, if it's not aired, how can anybody seize on it or be worried or warned about it? So I'm not too worried about that. We'll try to come up with ways we can win the war. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Jerry in Portland, Oregon, KEX 1190.
Yes, Jerry.
And I've got a couple things I would like to ask you.
Okay.
Okay, did Crystal Gayle have her floor-length hair still, or has it been cut off?
No, it is floor length.
It's lower length.
It's floor length. You
asked.
Well,
it is floor length.
Oh, absolutely. Right down to the ankles.
Oh, that's great. She's left it then. It's been a while since I've seen her. And then how about putting a picture of you and y'all in the newsletter for us, since we don't have a computer, some of us.
We will do that.
Okay, I'd appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Consider it done, and for God's sakes, get a computer.
I don't even know how to turn one on.
That's about all you have to know these days.
Is that right?
Yeah, not much beyond how to turn it on. And believe me, some people, when they get computers, don't know how to do that. It's true, so you need not be embarrassed. Go spend a little money and get a computer.
I'm getting old. I don't know.
And then you'll like it even better.
Okay.
All right. See you later. You know, there are still people out there, and I'm not one of them. I gave in long, long ago. And you should, too. If you're, you know, sitting on the fence computer-wise, you probably ought to go ahead and get a computer. Join the world. It's safe mail, for one thing. Safer than the mail right now. Boy, I bet the post office is having cats about that, huh? People opening less mail and everything. I mean, mail is their business, right? First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
This is Justin in San Antonio.
Yes, Justin.
I just wanted to offer maybe a less evil explanation, hopefully, for the shadow people. I can't take credit for the research, but digging around on your website, I can't remember the exact links. I saw some.
Well, we had all kinds of pictures of shadow people up there, and most of them did not look real friendly. There were a few.
Well, the story when the little girl called in one night, that pretty much freaked me out for a little while. So, but I was looking around, and I saw some links to sleep paralysis.
Yes.
And that's something that I have experience for as long as I can remember.
Well, sleep paralysis is the step immediately prior to an out-of-body experience. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, now you
do. Well, great.
If you let it go, if you can let go, release, and let the feeling take over instead of being scared by it waking up, you will travel outside your body. Try it.
Well, I've tried to let go, but it's like you said. I mean, it is pretty scary, and
yeah.
And you use your willpower to...
Well, the truth of the matter, sir, me too. If it starts, I snap out of it so fast. I'm a control freak, and I can't stand the feeling.
Right. Well, the links mentioned, kind of a scary one, the evil presence and people sense. I mean, it really chimed with stories of shadow people. And I've got two dogs, and there was one, I mean, not too long ago, I swore I was reaching for a dog on the dog at the end of my bed, although he wasn't there, he was on my floor, so, and he's black, and, you know, I swear, you know, I thought I was reaching for a dog, but...
Shadow dog.
I'm sorry, and one other, I can remember something on the side of my bed a long time ago.
Yes.
Moving.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know, I mean, maybe there's a link. Hopefully that's a less scary...
So you've had all that happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next step is going to be when it joins you.
Mm.
You know, physically joins you.
You mean hanging out with me?
Well, not exactly. More like, in other words, you've had the initial overtures, and what we found is that people who see a shadow person from the corner of their eye, pretty soon they see it straight on. And then pretty soon they have an experience with it.
Great.
So.
I hope I'm not calling their attention to me now.
Happy dreams.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, sir. And please call me after it happens. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Mike calling from Austin, listening to you on KLBJ 590 AM.
Thank you. Yes.
You and I have a couple of things in common.
Do we?
We're both Geminis.
Ah, yes, the burden of the twins.
Absolutely. Ups and downs. We're both communicators. We both like to speak.
Yes.
In fact, that's a Gemini quality. We're known for being inquisitive, asking a lot of questions.
Communicators, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, in one respect, I somewhat envy you, but I digress. You and I also are fans of the late Terrence McKenna.
Oh, indeed so.
And I'm telling you, Art, since you initially mentioned the random number generation back shortly after the 9/11 attacks, and you mentioned this was before the experiments that...
Actually, sir, I did, of course, because of the 9/11 spike or wow signal, whatever you want to call it, that did cause me to get back into it. But I've been messing with this for years now. I've had this pair program that I've been using for years, so I've been interested in this for a long, long time.
Is that pair software something that's available publicly?
No, sadly. It was free. They were actually giving it away as part of a mass experiment at one point, but that has now ended, and it's no longer available on the net.
That's too bad.
You're darn right it's too bad.
Well, I was thinking... After the initial reports of this random number spike about Terrence McKenna's theories on novelty and habitualness.
Yes.
So I immediately thought we just had a huge spike in novelty.
No.
The novelty spike went through the roof.
Terrence would have been really, really fascinated with this.
And he would have been all over the experiments that you carried out last week.
Yeah, you're dead on the money. Thank you. Unfortunately, as is Terrence. Dead, that is. Such a shame, such a waste, such a brilliant mind. And to the very end, Terrence was absolutely brilliant. Rarely do you run into that kind of mind in life, you know. And when you do, you know you have met a great mind. That was Terrence McKenna, a really great mind. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, all right. This is Kathy in Oklahoma City.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. I just have two quick things I want to run by you. Last week I was telling my husband that I had a gut feeling that the anthrax was a distraction and that Osama was actually going to introduce Ebola virus over here.
Mm-hmm.
I heard what Richard said.
Yes.
But then I heard today that actually what was going on over there was an Ebola-like virus that started in the summer. Have you heard about that?
Well, no. The story was, of course, I think, dated October 4th.
Okay.
Now, it may have begun sometime in the summer. I don't know.
Right. And then the other thing was I need your opinion on something. Last week I was out looking at the stars late at night, and I noticed a flash, and so I looked in that direction about a third of the way up, and I saw it again. It was about as bright as Venus, so I started counting the seconds, and at first I thought a pulsar, and then I realized that was wrong because it was too slow, and so about every 6 seconds it would flash about as bright as Venus, but it wasn't moving, and I was thinking space junk reflecting the sun.
Right.
It wasn't moving, and it went on for about 20 minutes. Any ideas?
Yeah, Venus, it sounds like.
No,
Venus.
It really wasn't Venus, because Venus rose later.
Then, in that case, I don't have any idea. That's how people usually describe it, though.
Right. I mean, I know what Venus looks like.
I know. It can fool you, though. You stare at Venus, and it appears to move up and down, back and forth. Sometimes it zigzags. It really... Your eyes do strange things with Venus.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It didn't move. It just flashed, and all the other stars were really bright, and, you know, the sky was totally clear, no clouds or anything. So it was very strange. I'd never seen anything like it.
Well, in that case, maybe you have joined the many.
Maybe I have.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. The sightings that are really good are the ones that are so close that you don't wonder what you see. You wonder why more people haven't reported it, but of course, really, they have. Something so close you could almost throw a rock at it. That's what I saw. And, you know, once you've seen something of that magnitude so close up, it sort of changes your outlook on everything because you understand at least some things. You understand a lot of these reports are damn well true because you've seen it with your own eyes. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. Hello. Going once. Oh, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, already?
Yes.
You must not be having too busy a night, eh?
No, we are. You just managed to get on, and I don't put people on hold. I just go, boom.
Well, that's perfect. How are you?
Well, thank you.
My name is Dee. I live in Temple, Texas, and I'm listening to KLIF out of Dallas.
Cliff, yes, the mighty Cliff.
And that's because KLBJ out of Austin just doesn't come in as well, and I'm kind of almost in the middle. I'm closer to Austin than I am to Dallas.
Well, you go with the one that gets the signal there.
Well, there you go. hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you, and this is getting way off the subject, but have you ever been so in love with someone that you knew precisely what they were thinking, even when you all were not together, and you kind of almost like remoted each other?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Why? Are you in that condition?
I'm afraid not now.
Not now?
Uh-uh. Presently, I am in a desert. It feels like Lent all year.
Well, then why did you, I'm curious, why did you ask that question?
Well, because I wanted to say that in 1973, I was blessed with such an affair. I was about 17, 18 years old, and I never met the person face-to-face.
Huh?
We had a transcendental love affair, and I never saw him. And
well, in what manner did you communicate?
It was by phone, and it was by letter.
Hmm.
It was lovely. And it was
What prevented the physical...
I was like a junior or sophomore in high school, and I was attending a residential school, and they would certainly not allow us to see each other.
I see. Well, that's an ultra-safe relationship.
It was very safe, and it was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I want to say, in case he's listening, because I have not, I don't know what ever become of him, and I have looked in the internet and every place I can think of.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to say, in case he is listening, he put my feet on the path to heaven, and I didn't stay on quite the same path, but he put me on a path which ultimately led me to the shortest cut to what you and I would call paradise.
Well, that's awfully close to a personal message, which we're not supposed to allow, but since it's an unknown recipient, sent basically by an unknown sender, wonder what he would do, you know, if he got the message. Would he suddenly send a letter, make a phone call, resume the relationship that never touched? West of the Rockies? Oh, that button. West of the Rockies, you're on the air now. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
My name's Rob. I'm from San Diego.
Okay.
And I was thinking of a couple things. One was about the spike chart you had.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I was thinking about that, and I was also kind of thinking about what Princeton had to say about it and their reaction towards the actual results of the test.
Yes, isn't that odd? Since it was proffered to us by Dean Radin, who is one of the founders of the Global Consciousness Project, it is odd to hear what his colleague says at Princeton.
Yeah, and also, you know, about them wanting to get more testing done on that.
Yes.
You know, I think some things are so close to the power of God almost.
To be fair, it's Dean Radin who wants more testing.
Right, right. But I also feel that, you know, whatever kind of things that fall into the hands of scientists eventually fall into the hands of the government, which eventually can be turned into a weapon.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know, whatever, the graphs that we have are what they are, and though they may say they did not officially participate in the experiment, that equipment was used, and it was sent to us by one of their members, so it is what it is. Now, what should we do with it? I really think that's the operative question. What should we do with it? What should we do with this whole thing, this whole concept, this whole idea? Should we really prove it to science, do it enough more times that we prove it to science? And if we do, what does that mean?
No, I don't think, for myself anyway, I don't think that we should do it for them. You know, I don't think it's something that we should really be messing with without knowing really what's going on with it.
Maybe it only works when you're doing something. I don't believe that either. I think it probably would work if we did it again. I think it would work again. I do. I'm worried about what this power is and what it might do.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that too myself, because you know everything has a equal reaction that's opposite.
And sometimes things have unintended reactions.
Right.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking it over. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Arch.
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
It's off now, sir.
Okay.
This is Ken. I'm calling from Texas. I got a question.
Yes.
A while back, you had on a guy that said he caught some kind of entity in a Bug Ridge 2000 trap or something. You remember that? It's been a while now.
A man who caught a spirit in a bug zapper.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was wondering, I had never heard anything else, whether he actually caught it or whether he got his wife to come back and release it or...
Yes.
Or what?
The answer is we had him on again, and his wife did come back, and they did release it.
And nothing evil happened or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of to date.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just curious.
Okay, thanks. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Ann from Springfield, Missouri. I listen to you on AM 560 KWTO. Keep watching the Ozarks.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to compliment you on the beautiful song that Crystal Gayle has written and dedicated to you.
Oh, isn't it dynamite?
It's wonderful. I really have been enjoying it. I'm Cherokee also myself, and I love the Native American chants and flute music in the background.
Right.
Last year, in October of 2000, I belong to a Cherokee Honor Society out of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. which is the Cherokee capital of the world for that part of the country. And we honored her. She came to Tahlequah, and we inducted her into our Cherokee Honor Society last year, and she is a beautiful, beautiful lady.
Oh, she certainly is. And you can tell with that in her blood where those high cheekbones and that beauty came from, huh?
Yes, she's gorgeous. She's cool.
She's an absolute beauty.
Art, we love your show. I'm not going to spend a long time on here. I just wanted to tell you that I live here in an old farmhouse in the Missouri Ozarks, and at nighttime, during the quiet hours, I turn on my CC radio and light my candles and fasten my seatbelt and prepare to take a ride.
Well, you're going for a ride this next hour. Thank you very much, hon. Here she is. This is Crystal Gayle. And yes, she sang this one for me. And I guess all of you. All about the program.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you.
That have autism. Joy and pain. He opened up our minds.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired October 24th, 2001.
Tonight Shift. That's this one. You know, my network up in Oregon, just as we do here in this house, take in cats. Recently, one of the radio station network cats was smushed by a car. Very sad. But something strange happened. The other day, a golden-colored cat came in through the old cat door. And that seems to happen with animals. I don't know if you're an animal person, you know what I mean. You lose an animal, and then another one comes in. And this cat, they've decided to call Night Shift. So I thought this would be a good song to say welcome to the network, Night Shift. I understand she's really something. They've got a new cat. And we've got a show coming up all about the other side. Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeath. And I'll tell you, you've never heard anything like this in your life. The following hours are going to either encourage you about the other side or scare the hell out of you about the other side. It tends to do the latter to me because I kind of figured when you go to the other side, you ascend to some nice, lovely place. Probably not 70 virgins, but, you know, it's nice, right? As you listen to some of the voices that have been recorded on tape, this electronic voice phenomena, you will begin to debate with yourself what the nature of the other side really is and how anxious, therefore, you are to get to it. At any rate, it will, I promise you, cause you to think. So stand by for that. Electronic voice phenomena. Voices from the other side you can hear coming up.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Now we take you back to the night of October 24th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Now, GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS, was started by Jenny Nielsen, Roger and Barbara McBeath, and Brendan Cook. Brendan is the webmaster of the GIS website, www.ghostpics.com. He's been conducting ghost research and ghost investigations in the field for the last 3 years. Brendan was very skeptical about electronic voice phenomena until he first recorded it for himself. It was about 3.5 years ago. His desire to learn how EVP happens has been the driving force in his continuation of conducting ghost research and investigations. His goal is to help explain the phenomena of EVP. Since Barbara was a small child and able to read, she has researched and read everything she could get her hands on concerning true ghost experiences, from true ghost stories of experiencers, as we get here on the air, to case files from ghost researchers in the field, plus her own interviews with those who have experienced ghost phenomena. Although she grew up with grandparents who had practiced spiritualism, and she indulged in it herself, at least until she reached young adulthood, her views have changed over the years toward the entities that she used to deal with in her seances and the ghosts that linger in our realm. Mm-mm-mm. She was raised not to fear the entities who were in her house as a child, and does not fear the ghosts who remain among us. She has been researching and investigating for over 30 years. Well, welcome back to the program, you two.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Thank you, Art.
And Barbara, your last name, I do pronounce McBeath. Is that correct?
No.
No, see? I don't know. Every time
you have a hard time with that name.
I really do. I want to pronounce it that way. It's Macbeth, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Oh.
The old original way of spelling it, I was told.
Yes. All right. Well, you know, I think the first most important thing to do before we play any of this remarkable material is to explain to people exactly how it's obtained and the stringent methods in obtaining it. It really is important that people understand this. Otherwise, it's too easy to write it off. But if you explain to us how it's done and the care that's taken in doing it, then they'll understand the significance of what they're hearing.
Exactly. EVP, it's a fairly simple process to record. However, there's a lot of different theories on how it ends up on tape. You basically just get a microcassette recorder, a regular tape recorder, anything that uses the electromagnetic field to record. And we use an external microphone, of course, just to cut out motor noise. You always use a blank tape. And other than that, you just go to known haunted locations.
Yeah, I think the blank tape part is the most important because it's so easy to say, come on, it
exactly.
was recorded on before it wasn't properly erased.
Yeah, the blank tape part is definitely the most important part about doing this.
So there would normally be nothing other than a soft hiss on a unrecorded tape. It would be brand new. It has never been impressed magnetically. There is no way in the world these voices could be showing up other than
any some kind of an anomalous phenomenon.
And you first discovered this how long ago?
Well, if you're talking about personally discovered it, it was probably three and a half, four years ago that I had heard about EVP.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me draw it away from the personal. How old is EVP itself? When was it discovered?
EVP has been around for a long, long time. People just now are thinking it's a new phenomenon. However, it's been around since easily the 20s. And the majority of the research has been done around the 50s.
Okay. So, a long time. Can you name any of the real pioneers in the field?
There's Radovay, Hans Jurgensen, even Thomas Edison had been working on something, although it never got finished.
Thomas Edison?
Yes.
So, in other words, in his research, he actually documented things he absolutely could not account for?
Yeah, he did. He believed that it was possible to communicate with the other side.
And he was working on a project at the time of his death.
That's really, really interesting. Really interesting that he would have believed that he, you know, he believed that himself, that he didn't look for some other scientific explanation, you know, since that's what he worked in.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he did, and he simply couldn't come up with one. And that's what I've challenged. Everybody who says, you know, what a bunch of baloney. Why are you wasting your time on this? Blah, blah, blah. I get those kind of emails sometimes. And I generally write back and I ask, what is your explanation for this then?
Exactly.
Duh.
And you know, we get the same kind of emails, people telling us that we're full of it and this just isn't happening. You're faking all this.
Yeah.
And we just simply have to tell them, you know, what do we have to gain by faking this? It's a real phenomenon. It's something that's out there. And if you don't believe us, just go try it.
One of the problems that people have is that you don't come on here and sell stuff on the show either. I mean, you haven't even written a book, right?
No,
we haven't.
You know, and I've brought this up before on the show. There is no point in charging for what we're doing or charging for access to our website. You know, this is something, for one, we enjoy doing, and we love sharing it with everybody, and we just want to get more people out trying it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big problem for people who are, you know, looking to say, what a bunch of malarkey. If you're selling something, it makes it easy to say that. Well, you take that one away, too, because you're not selling anything.
Yep.
And then there's the biggest one of all. And that is, if you've got the guts for it, and you're willing to devote a little time to it, you can do it at home. I mean, this a number of people have done that have emailed me. They finally have taken the trouble. And they go, oh, my God, I got something on tape. I got a voice on tape from the other side.
Yeah, and that's really one of the things that's so nice about this is you can spend as much or as little money on this as you want and still get results out of it.
Sure. Anybody can avoid, you know, afford a little cassette recorder of some sort.
Yes.
So, with that in mind, and you guys are very stringent, aren't you, about having blank tapes?
Oh, yes.
Brand new tapes, not just blank, but brand new. And in the interpretation of what you get, how does that work? Is it kind of a committee thing? Do you all sit down and decide what it is being said?
Well, some of the voices are, to us, are definitely, it's very, very clear on what is being said. And other times, all of us will hear different things on voices. And it's the ones that we get that we definitely know what they're saying, that there's no question to us on what it is saying, most of the times it will relate to something that we are talking about at the time, and this voice will come in and say something that is relating to what we're talking about or what we're doing at that time. We've had many people say that we're picking up either cell phones or radio transmissions or CB radio transmissions, but most of the times it is relating to what we are talking about or doing.
But
and,
all
we,
of this, as it always has through every program I've done with you, bothers the hell out of me, because that means, A, that the spirits are in a conscious form. If they're listening to you and they're able to interact with you, that means it's a...
there's an intelligence behind it.
Well, there is without a body, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my things. I'm not so much interested in trying to have people go out and do this themselves, because I know that this isn't for everyone. This is something that bothers people, and it isn't for everyone to try.
Well,
but
it's not.
My point is showing that the conscious survives death, and that we do survive in our consciousness.
Which might be a good thing if you're not stuck down here on Earth, unable to communicate with anybody other than, you know, in a short burst onto a tape machine. I think what kind of life that must be. Lonely, dark, cold. I don't know. Just it's unattractive. You don't necessarily have that take on it, do you?
No, I don't.
How come? I mean, how can you not have that take on it?
I think that many times some of these ghosts are here by choice. I feel like they have unfinished business. I do feel like some of them are stuck here, and I do feel sorry for those that are stuck and don't realize that they've passed on.
Yeah, some don't realize they're dead. Some sound confused.
Yeah.
Some sound angry, which means they've reached another stage here.
But they could have been angry when they were alive. I think that the mindset is still the same.
That's true. There's a lot of bummer people walking around.
No, not everyone has a wonderful, blissful life. There's a lot of misery in people's lives, and that misery continues on.
You know, and I definitely do believe that when you hear these voices tonight, especially the ones that were at the prison, you'll definitely hear the torment and the madness. And
that is where we're going to begin. What is it, the first 10 or 11 of these?
Yeah, the first 11 tracks are from a prison in Rawlins, Wyoming.
Rawlins, Wyoming. Now, as a matter of interest, I guess I'm answering my own question as I'm thinking about it. People who had been incarcerated and had nothing to do but think and be inside themselves all the time.
Exactly. When you have somebody who's been in prison for 40 years, they're going to still feel like that after they've passed on.
And a lot of people, I guess, die in prison, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This particular prison, they affectionately refer to it as the old pen, and they conduct tours through it. Our first preliminary investigation at the prison, we
went on a regular tour through the prison. They conduct these tours daily.
Now, but when you tell them, look, we want to go in with tape recorders and record the voices of ghosts here in your prison, how do they react to that idea?
Well, first of all, they were aware that the prison was haunted before we had gotten there.
Oh?
And, you know, and it really surprised us that they were so open to us coming in and doing this.
You mean
after we got to talking.
Are you talking about the prison administration, the guards there? Who knew it was haunted?
Well, first of all, the prison is closed down. It's now, they've turned it into a museum. It's over 100 years old. No, actually, it is about 100 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
Yeah, so it's basically a museum now that they just take tours through. And the lady who's directing it right now actually had had experiences. Some of the people that have worked there have had experiences. And when they found out what it was we did, they were very open to what we were doing.
They've also had people that have been on the tour that have had experiences there. So they were completely aware that there was entities there.
All
right. In fact, there was a nun. They were saying that a nun had gone through there and had some experience, and it upset her so bad. She was crying, and she left quite hurriedly, and they had it blessed after that episode, but there's still things taking place there.
Were there executions at that prison?
Oh, yes.
Yes, and there was.
There were.
In fact, they used to, when the prison was built, it started being built in 1886, and the completion of it was done in 1894, and it sat in custodial status for a few years, and then in 1901 it was opened and they started putting prisoners there.
All right, well, let's do a couple of fast ones here. The first two we'll try and get in before the bottom of the hour. This first one?
All right, well, this first one was recorded by Barbara's husband named Roger, and it was recorded while he was walking from the library of the prison into the old hole, and the hole was where they used to stick the prisoners that had been bad or disobeyed the guards. That what they would do is take off all their clothes and throw them in the hole naked. And this is in Wyoming, so during the winter this is extremely cold, and some of them would go insane or just basically freeze to death.
All right, so what are we about to hear?
Anyway, this one is going to say Dr. Whitehead.
Dr. Whitehead, all right.
Dr. Whitehead. Dr. Whitehead.
Oh, very clear. Dr. Whitehead. Did you ask anybody at the prison whether there had been a doctor by the name of Whitehead there ever?
Yes, I asked Tina, the director, to research it and see if she could locate the name of a doctor by that name or if there was a prisoner that was nicknamed that.
Right.
And so she's researching it. I haven't heard back on that, but she was going to do some research and see if she could find out.
All right. Number two.
This sounds like two different voices to me. I recorded this in a cell block, the cell block A, and that was the original part of the prison. And Roger had just said, I think that they're just walking around, and there's a voice that says, I'm walking, and then another one that sounds different to me that says, I'm walking.
Oh, wow. Here we go. There it is. I'm walking. I'm walking.
And now that
wow. You know, I really say wow because I wonder if anybody recalls a recent movie. We're taking a break here in which they said dead man walking. They were referring to a prisoner about to be executed, dead man walking. Clearly, that said, I'm walking. I'm walking.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
Barbara Macbeth and Brendan Cook are my guests, and we are listening to Voices from the Other Side. It will continue momentarily.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
The Green Mile. That was the movie, The Green Mile. Hope you all it was something all by itself. A lot of walking there. A lot of walking in all jails. That's what goes on. Walking back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. That's about all you've got to do. So I'm walking, I'm walking. That one didn't surprise me at all. All right, you two, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hold on. If the experience on the other side is not almost universally some sort of negative experience for those who remain here on Earth, why do we get the best results from areas where people have been murdered, where people have committed suicide, where people have been executed, incarcerated, or otherwise, more or less, tortured? Hello?
I can't even answer that. Unless there is some kind of an imprint in the atmosphere at that location that takes place. I think that sometimes the voices that we get are that type of occurrence. But the ones that interact with what we're doing and talking about, I have to think that there is a presence there.
Well, I think the happy campers have mostly moved on.
I don't think that there are such things as a real happy ghost.
Yeah. Sue in Vancouver, Washington said, "Hey, Art, I listened to Paul Harvey. And he talked about the Edison experiments. And he said the family covered it up at the time of his death to save embarrassment." Had you heard that?
Yes, I had.
I'll be darned. I'll be darned. Edison.
No, it wasn't something that was
still isn't
very well known.
It still isn't. Not too well known and probably not very well accepted, but I think true. I know that when some people hear this sort of thing, it makes them angry. Have you run into that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We've definitely run into people who are angry that we're even doing this.
They
say that we're recording the voices of demons and spreading, the message of Satan, I guess.
What if they're right?
Well, they can have their personal beliefs.
And you have yours.
But, yeah, basically. And I really don't believe that's what it is. And I've brought this up on the show before that, even the Vatican has looked into doing this.
Yes. Yes. I wonder if people are aware that the Vatican has looked into this.
I really don't think there are too many people who are aware that they had looked into it and had two priests actually looking into it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do another. Again, back to, we're still at Rollins Prison.
Yeah. Well, this one was recorded in cell block A by Barbara, and it's real simple. It's a woman saying the name Holly. It's almost like she's looking for somebody named Holly.
All right, see if you hear Holly. Oh, yeah. I'm not as sure. I don't think I hear Holly. I don't hear the Y at the end. I'm going to listen to that again, and so will the audience. Let's see what they think. By the way, I'm taking fast blasts, if you have any idea what you're hearing. Let's listen to that again. Yeah, I don't think I hear the Y at the end of that.
Really?
Yeah, but it might be Holly. What do I know?
It sounds like someone calling for someone.
It does. It does sound like that. And maybe that helped you come to the conclusion that it was a name.
Yes. There were women prisoners at this location. And when, you know, when you were talking about prisoners that had been executed there, they originally hung the men on death row. They have hanging gallows there. And then there was a gas chamber that was later brought in, and they used gas to execute the prisoners.
Oh, my wife just brought me a note saying my cat is absolutely going berserk over that voice. I'm going to play it again. If you have a cat, see if your cat reacts to this. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That's the next one. I didn't want to do that. Here we go. Pretty strange stuff, and my cat is going berserk. Maybe that's just my cat. Have you had animals respond in strange ways to these voices?
Not as far as I know.
Well, now you've got a report.
Well, and we have heard of it before.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
All four cats are responding to that.
All four cats? We've got four cats. All four of them? Okay, guys, there's a new one for you. All four of my cats are going totally berserk at that one.
Well, that's interesting.
That is interesting. That is really interesting. We'll see if we get more of that from the audience. All right, let's keep moving because there are some really good ones that I want to get to a little further down in this list of the prison recordings.
This next one was recorded by Roger. He had mentioned to one of the people there that he was going to go over to the death house. And he recorded this voice. We're really not sure what it says, but to us it sounds, the best we can come up with is it sounds like it's saying right now.
Right now. All right, let's see if it is saying right now.
Right now.
I clearly hear right now. Now, isn't that strange? You weren't sure of that one. I wasn't sure of Holly, but right now, that's as clear as a bell.
And that's really kind of the trick of EVP. Some things that sound so clear to some people will just, other people can't hear it.
Some are so clearly voices. Others are, they have a strange...
Very strange quality to them.
Very strange quality, yes. Does that indicate to you all that it's hard to get through to the other side?
Yes, I've always related it to it sounding like someone speaking underwater. I think that it takes a very large amount of energy on their part to come through, and I think that's why one reason why we just get short little sentences instead of big long conversations with them.
Well, eventually cell phones that sound very much at times like these voices will also improve and get clearer, so we can all have hope. What comes next?
Well, this next one, let's see here. Okay. Roger will say, Barbara's husband Roger will say, "What's up there?" And you'll hear this voice just say, "Shut up."
Shut up. Really?
Yep.
Shut up. All right, here we go. All right. I want to hear the first part of that again, where we hear Roger's voice. Well, at first I thought that was the same voice, but it is not the same voice.
No, it isn't.
I listened very carefully. I thought, boy, you know, that sounds like the exact same voice, but it's not. Now, shut up. That would seem to be a rude thing to say.
Yes, and we don't talk like that.
No.
And it almost makes me have the impression that whoever said shut up didn't want the attention to where Roger was drawing everyone's attention to.
May I ask a critical question?
Yes.
If you have not one, but two recorders going at the same time, both with the same tight controls and brand new tapes and all the rest of it, do you get the recording on both machines?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because it was something we were going to bring up at some point in the show. It's an interesting topic because sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. In fact, a couple of the voices towards the end of the prison section were recorded by everybody, whereas some of the other voices were only recorded by one person who was standing right next to somebody else with a recorder.
Now, how do you interpret that? What do you think that means?
You know, it's really hard to say.
My theory is that when just one person gets it, when everybody should have, when everybody's in close proximity to each other, I feel like that spirit is just talking to that person that records it. That its attention is on that person.
Wow. Do you agree, Brendan?
Yeah. I mean, that's something that the group has talked about. And, I mean, at this point, that seems to make the most sense.
So you all get together, and I presume that you discuss the work you're doing and the results you're getting and the implications of the work that you're doing, don't you?
Every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
What do you think the implications are? In other words, if eventually this is taken up like crazy and people actually prove to themselves there is another side, another dimension, heaven or hell or whatever it is that we're communicating with here, what are the implications of that?
Well, first of all, to get to the first part of that, and it's something you may not be aware of, is ghost investigating, ghost hunting is actually becoming one of the largest hobbies in the U.S. right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Neither am I, actually. as for the implications of it, you know, I don't think other than people proving it to themselves, you know, a whole lot more can be done with it.
Once you have proven this to yourself, you're never going to be the same. Not really.
Well, of course.
Because all of a sudden now you no longer doubt. You know there is an other side.
Yes, and I think, honestly, that's why a lot of people do get into it, is just for that fact alone. One of the other reasons we do it is almost re-education on what a ghost is. We don't want people to think a ghost is Hollywood. I mean, it's nothing like that. I mean, other than, you know, it is a person that's lived and died.
Well, you've got to admit, it may be horrible. It may be horrible, and this next one demonstrates that, in my opinion, as do several others here. We're going to have a lot of weight on my side as I read ahead here. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
This one was recorded at the prison, but it was recorded at a different time than the first one that says, I'm walking.
Right.
Roger recorded this one and on our second investigation, and it says, I'm always walking. And what's interesting, I was going to bring up earlier, there was a prisoner who paced in his cell so much back and forth that he actually wore a trench in his cell in a cement floor. You can see where his shoe was, I guess, as he would turn around and walk the other direction. These cells are very small.
My God, think about that.
Yes, he must have paced back and forth. He was incarcerated there for, I think they said, about over 40 years.
And
go ahead.
Well, you know, something else that's interesting about this guy is he was in there for over 40 years. He had been released. He basically went on the front lawn of the prison, ate his lunch, came back in, and asked if he could be let back in his cell.
There are a lot of prisoners that do that.
Yeah.
They actually become accustomed to their cell and not at all comfortable with the outside world.
Right. They've been incarcerated so long, they don't know how to adjust, you know.
All right. Here it is. Let's see what everybody hears. There it is, always walking. Not hard to hear at all for me. You got to listen a little bit, but clearly always walking, always walking. And that's, to me, folks, that's the dark side. My God, if you've been in prison all your life, or you've died in prison or been executed in prison, to imagine the sentence continues on the other side, listen. Listen very carefully. See, that one comes down heavily on my side. And it may be that justice continues. I mean, what else do you draw from that?
You know, it's,
this is clearly someone that lived there in that prison for many years to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it was the man that was pacing in his cell that wore a trench in his cell on a cement floor. It's amazing to see.
But doesn't it mean what I just said?
Yes.
So maybe the hell on earth continues on the other side for those who have put themselves in it here.
Right. The mental state is still the same.
When you think about eternity, that has an awful lot of meaning.
Yes, it does.
Thanks.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of theories that, you know, hell is basically repetition.
That's right.
And that could really be what this is.
Here's somebody, Casey in California writes, my dog doesn't like these recordings. He's barking and growling at all of them, except the one that said Holly, which caused him to run from the room whimpering with his ears back and his tail down.
Real.
Yeah, you may be finding out something new tonight. I'm getting a lot of these fast blasted to me. A lot of animals out there have reacted to these. That's
really that is quite interesting.
It sure is.
I have a cat and a dog, and they just might be used to the tone of these voices, but they I've never seen them react to it.
Well, as you point out, though, they've been hearing the dead for years.
Yes, they have. Of course, they're old, and their hearing might be gone by now, so I don't know.
All right. We are still in prison, and I think we're up to number 7 here.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Now this is an extremely interesting voice. It was recorded by GIS member Jenny, and what's interesting about it is in this clip, you will hear Barbara reading the rules of governing convicts. And she's on Rule 2, which is talking about how they must observe strict silence, which is one of the reasons we wonder why we didn't get a lot of EVP at this prison,
mm-hmm.
because the prisoners were not allowed to talk when they were there, especially to visitors.
Oh, really?
Yes, and Barbara will actually, you can hear on this recording, explaining that rule, that they must observe strict silence, especially when visitors are there, must not make eye contact with a visitor. So, you know, and after death, they're still going to think that way. But anyway, what you're going to hear on this clip is Barbara's reading those rules, and
right.
You'll hear a voice whisper, we'll talk.
We'll talk. All right, let's see if that's what we get.
You must observe strict silence at your work or in marching. No conversation allowed except by permission of the officer in charge. Or in marching.
Ooh, that's really bizarre. That's really bizarre. That only came on one track, by the way. Most of these are on two tracks. That was only on one track.
Yeah, in fact, all of them should be on two tracks. I just realized that I probably screwed that one up when I was inputting it into the system.
We'll talk. Now, do you take that as a... in other words, what they could not do in life, they will damn well do in death?
Yeah, probably just a defiant thing. You know, they might have even realized they're dead, and whoever had control of them in life doesn't have control of them anymore.
Maybe, except you would have to ask yourself, well, then, how come they're still here?
Well, you know, it could be a mental thing. I mean, just they're so mentally tortured by it, they still think they're trapped.
Yeah, I never thought of a prison as being a good source of electronic voice phenomena, but sadly, it appears to be. Or am I just getting lucky in hearing the very few that you did manage to capture? Was it a rich environment or no?
Well, the thing is, we did 3 investigations at the prison. The last investigation on September 21st, we probably had 12 hours of tape per person.
Right.
And this is what you're getting.
Oh, and we are getting the results of that.
Yeah.
On all 3 investigations.
Okay, so fairly meager pickings then,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see. All right, hold it right there, you two. Coming up on the top of the hour. My guests are from the Ghost Investigators Society. The voices you're hearing, they're from, you know, over there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
So I came into you, sweet lady. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
Anybody ever see the beginning of the movie The Stand on TV? Remember when they played this? Somebody dropped the vial. People started running. The song came on. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And it just seems to fit. Stay right where you are.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I really believe that my role is to inform people, to try to bring them the truth. Yes, this is a program where we have some fun, and sometimes it's very, very unusual and strange. But I want them to understand what's happening in the world around them, whether it's climate change, economy, war, and the reasons for all these things. So that's what I think my mission is.
Now we take you back to the night of October 24th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, I should warn you, it is my belief, as I look down the list that I have in front of me, that these are going to get scarier. I think they're going to get scarier based on what is said. That's just my opinion and my warning to you if you're listening and kind of freaked out. Kim in Sarasota, Florida says, were you or your guests aware that Sir Paul McCartney, in an interview on ABC's Good Morning America, said that he had a recording of his wife's voice on tape after she died? In fact, it can be found at ABC's website. No, I was most certainly not aware of that, Tim. Thank you very much. And Donna writes from Pueblo, Colorado, I've worked in corrections for 13 years, and I've seen two ghosts. One we heard, it rattled Folger's Adams keys. The other slammed doors. Pretty scary stuff on the block at 2 a.m. when it happens. You two, you're back on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've really noticed prisons seem to be extremely haunted. And I think that has a lot to do with the mentality these people had in life.
You know, if you do any traveling, you might want to get over to Sing Sing.
Yes, there's several prisons that we would be interested in investigating. There's one that we're working on right now. Hopefully they'll give us the approval.
Yeah, are they currently still prisons?
No.
No.
This one's like the prior prison in Rowland.
Yeah, easier to get into if
yes.
They're decommissioned.
And okay. And they would be more likely to let us conduct an investigation when it's not in use anymore.
Sure. All right. The next one.
This next one, there was three of us that recorded this voice. We're using the one that Ginny recorded. It was the loudest and clearest on her tape.
All right. So, in other words, three of you with three separate recorders, all with brand new tapes, recorded the same thing.
Yes. And We were in the death house. The last investigation, we conducted our investigation in the death house, and Fox affiliate went with us and covered that investigation.
Oh, really?
And
how did the Fox people react when they heard this and the others?
The guy covering it was actually scared.
Was he?
Which, you know, we found that when people are frightened when they go out with us, it almost tends to draw activity to what we're doing.
I have the theory that the energy that fear produces is something that they're able to work off of.
Yes, but, you know, those people who say that you're hearing the devil or demons, this would empower that thought, wouldn't it, to some degree?
You know, it would be your own personal belief. I mean, you know, there's evil people in life.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like there's a lot of nice people in life. And when you're in a prison, obviously you're going to be dealing with some of the more evil people.
That's true.
And, you know, in a couple of voices I'll be telling you about a man that's supposed to be haunting this prison. And he was quite, quite evil.
All right. What are we about to hear?
I was showing Todd, the anchor guy that covered this, I was showing him some video, infrared video that I had gotten of him, and I don't know if this voice is related to that. There was some spirit energy that looked like it came out through his chest, and right after that, we recorded this voice that says, I appear.
I appear, huh? All right. Here it is right now.
I'm here.
Oh, my.
I'm here.
All right, I hear something. After he says, I appear, I hear the beginning of another syllable, it almost sounds like. Or was that one of you?
Yeah, it might have been something we cut out when we put the track on the CD.
That's kind of eerie stuff. That's an eerie one, I think.
Yeah.
That weird sound with it, that really weird sound. Here it is.
I'm here.
From deep inside a prison, actually, in the area of death. Okay. Dare I move on to the next one?
All right. Well, this next one, there's an interesting story that goes with this.
Mm.
There was a man who had escaped from Rollins Prison.
Oh.
And, well, first of all, there was an older lady who used to come to the prison daily or weekly to bring the prisoners baked goods and just kind of talk with them. And she was really friendly with them, and the prisoners liked her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this man had escaped from Rollins Prison and had somehow ended up at this lady's house, raped her, and left her for dead. Well,
good deed ever going unpunished.
Yeah, and, you know, they eventually caught up with this guy, brought him back to Rollins Prison. Well, the prisoners found out that he had done this to this lady,
mm-hmm.
and they were not too happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they had done was, late at night, had taken him up to the fourth tier of cell block A and thrown him over the side.
Over the side?
And the guards didn't pay any attention. They let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this voice, well, it's not really a voice, it's a scream, was recorded where this guy had been thrown over the fourth tier.
In fact, they threw him over that tier twice.
Yeah, they weren't sure the first time. That
so they threw him off again?
Yes.
And this is the location where you recorded the following?
Yes,
and Roger recorded this.
This is just a scream.
All right, here we go. Oh, my God, that's clearly a scream. That's clearly a scream. That's the kind of scream you'd hear. Somebody was tossed off the top of a building, too.
Yes.
Exactly like that. One more time. That's pretty eerie stuff, folks. When you get something like that, and you all are sitting around, how does that hit you?
Well, I know, like, when Roger recorded that, and when he came across it, when he was listening, because we listen to these voices with headphones, we listen to our tapes. There's a lot of voices that we recorded at this prison, but they were so whispery and soft that we really couldn't use them to post on the website.
Now, well, you told me there were rules that you couldn't talk in this prison.
The prisoners themselves could not talk.
Right. So I guess if you got thrown off a roof, you could scream.
Yeah.
For a second.
Well, and like we said, the guards pretty much knew this had happened and just let it go.
Oh, listen,
no
prisons,
one was ever prosecuted for it.
Oh, yeah. Prisons are their own internal society.
Yes.
That's as true today as it ever has been. There's a justice within.
Yes.
And that man violated, obviously.
What we would like to say, these last two voices from the prison,
yes,
take place in the death house. In fact, both of them are right outside the gas chamber. And this is where we're going to get into one of the men that's supposed to haunt this prison.
Was the gas chamber still there?
I would recommend anyone driving through Rawlins, Wyoming, or even close by there, take the time to go to this prison because it is really an education. It's very, it's a historical site, and it just shows it's exactly how it was when it was closed in, I think it was in 1978.
How long? 1988. Do you know how long it had been open?
Since 1901.
Wow. All right, so in the death area itself, then.
Yeah, well...
The gas chamber area.
This man that haunts this place, one of the men, his name was Andrew Pixley, and this was in the 60s. He was 21 years old, and what he had done was he killed two girls. The girls' parents found them, and when they found them, Andrew Pixley was actually passed out next to these girls. He didn't know he had done it. He had no shirt on, no shoes.
Well, that starts out just like the Green Monk.
Exactly. The father of the girls, was actually a judge. He had got on top of them, pinned them down on his with his knees on Andrew Pixley's shoulders. What he had done is basically, I don't know how to put this, ripped the girls apart with his teeth.
Oh.
It was a very violent guy. Once they got him back to the prison, he had no recollection of doing this. The guards said that he was possessed. They said that when he was in his cell, he would make weird noises that were not his. Voices would come out of the cell. He smelled very, very badly. He would never sleep. And when they actually went to execute him, they gassed him twice. The first time they gassed him did not kill him.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, and what are we about to hear from him?
This voice, it was recorded by Jenny and by Barry.
Two separate people.
And it says, "I killed you, you laughed at me, real cute laugh." That's
really?
What I hear.
And so this one's a little bit whispery.
All right. Whispery, but listen carefully, folks. That gives me the willies. That really gives me the willies. I killed you. You laughed at me. You laughed. Listen again. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ooh. I was back at the scream. Here we go. How is that not totally creepy, you guys?
Well, in his cell, you can see where he
carved
into the cement wall with his fingernail figures of women. The prisoners were afraid of him. They, everyone there thought that he was possessed. And he had said, when he was caught from killing these two little girls, he said that, you know, he could not recall doing it, and if he did that, he should die.
Carol Ann in Union, Missouri, writes to me. I'm reading my fast blasts. And a lot of other people have, too, aside from Carol Ann.
I had a New York police sergeant on the air with me very shortly after the 911 disaster. And this man was a friend of Father Malachi Martin's. I don't know. You may have heard the show. Did one of you?
I did, actually.
You did. He went to the... fellow officers have gone to, you know, Ground Zero, and they've done a lot of photography. And in that photography, they have had endless numbers of these orbs.
I've seen some of them.
Have you seen the photos? We've got them on the website.
Yeah.
And he says they are the spirits of the departed. So, obviously... a number of my listeners are curious whether it has occurred to you to try to get to or as near to the site as you can with your recorders.
It has, but, and this is something we brought up on the show before, it's really a moral question on, you know, we may do it, but it would be maybe a decade from now.
I think it wouldn't be very appropriate at this time. People are still in mourning. It's too soon. And you have to have respect for the families of these victims. I'm sure that because of the death that happened there that was so fast and so much unfinished business from so many people.
There's going to be a lot of activity.
Yes. That you've got to...
All right. But, then let me ask you this. After years, if you go to a place of, you know, really high activity, wherever it would be, a graveyard, your favorite graveyard, whatever, does the activity level, as time goes on, in your opinion, lessen? Or does it remain the same or even grow? I mean, what could you tell us?
Well, for one, I don't know if they being ghosts, even have a concept of time. I wonder if they're just stuck in whatever time it was that they had passed on.
So is your answer then that the activity, to the best of your knowledge, doesn't lessen, it remains the same?
It wouldn't lessen unless they have decided it's time for them to move on. Or
well,
something.
That's what I was getting at. In other words, there is
a couple of locations that were very active when we first started. Every time we would go there, we'd get... excessive amount of talking from them. And now when we go there, it's like they've left. It's like they're no longer there. And if we do get a voice, it's not the same voices that we did at the beginning.
Well, now that's kind of hopeful, because that would indicate that some of them move on up.
Yes, I do believe that as we're going around on an investigation, and we're talking about life after death, and... I do believe that some of these spirits realize that they are dead, and they move on, or they resolve mentally whatever is keeping them.
All right, here comes the last one from the prison, from Rollins Prison. Tell me about it.
All right, well, this again was inside the death house, and it was right outside of the door leading to the gas chamber. And this is just a simple get out. And it says, get out again. And the second time seems to be more upset and more emphatic that it wants us to leave.
You're going to hear Barry's voice in there. In fact, you'll hear the second get out saying, get out, behind Barry's voice.
Really? Oh, wonderful. Let's listen to that. Here we go.
Get out.
Whoever that was absolutely didn't want you there. And, you've really got to wonder, if you didn't get out, if that had not been the end of your visit, haven't you ever been worried that something else will manifest? I mean, if something is telling you that emotionally to get the hell out, and you don't get out.
Well, we haven't been worried about it simply because that's what we're there to experience, is whatever does manifest.
Hmm.
And, you know, in the end, that's what we would hope would happen.
Really? So in other words, if you saw something with giant glowing red eyes, long, obviously blood-indulged teeth coming at you, that would be cool, huh?
Well, we would.
I wouldn't imagine a ghost would look like that. I mean, I don't picture a ghost. The ghosts that I have physically seen, they have not appeared that way.
Uh-huh. Well, some of the ones we just heard sound like they'd look like that. All right. We'll break here at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Electronic Voice Phenomena from the good people at GIS. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001. Presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired October 24th, 2001.
You are listening to Electronic Voice Phenomena, i.e. voices from the other side. Now, you're free not to believe that and think this is all hokey and a bunch of baloney, but it's done with rigorous control. Tapes that have never had anything recorded on them. Normal tape recorders with an external microphone to prevent machine noise, that sort of thing. Several tape recorders are carried by members of the GIS. The two members we have here are Brennan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. And we'll get back to them in just a moment and much more electronic voice phenomena.
Now we take you back to the night of October 24th, 2001, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Trudy in Sacramento, California, brings up an interesting point. She says, I don't feel these are good voice clips. They just leave one confused about what's going on with the other side. Research and communication is still going on from the other side, so she firmly believes that, but she doesn't like the tone of these recordings because she says it confuses people about the other side. Well, we're not really here to, in my opinion, give you fluff. I mean, we're here to give you what it is they get, and this is what they're getting. I mean, if you listen to them, if anything, they argue the opposite argument that I do, and that apparently Trudy does too. They argue that these are not really evil spirits at all. However, I don't
believe that. Some of these sound pretty evil to me. But, you know, it does. I suppose it could confuse somebody about the nature of death and of life, or, you know, continued consciousness following death. It could confuse people, couldn't it? Have you thought of that?
Yes, but you've got to take into consideration the location of where we recorded these voices.
Hmm.
This prison was really a horrendous place to be incarcerated. It wasn't a country club like a lot of the new prisons today. They didn't even get hot running water into this prison until 1978.
Wow.
And when it was first built, the conditions were very harsh. It was a hard working prison. It was a working prison where the prisoners were expected to put in a full day from sunrise to sunset.
Yes, but Barbara, these recordings would indicate clearly that life over there on the other side could be as bad as the environment you were in, or, Barbara, even worse.
The mental state that a person is in life, that's why I say it's important to make your life as happy and as wonderful as possible, because how you are in life is exactly how you're going to be in death.
That's something to ponder, isn't it? For all of us. Everybody should ponder that. How you live is how you will die. How you will spend your time on the other side.
How you think in life is exactly how you're going to be when you die.
If you're a nasty, rotten, miserable person, then you are destined to spend eternity as a nasty, rotten... So you see, it's not exactly as some think, you know, ascending into the cloud-filled place, flitting about with golden wings and soaring in the clouds and the heavens and doing whatever it is you do in heaven. It could be just exactly what you're hearing. I mean, that is a crashingly important understanding, I think, about the other side.
Yes.
Really, really important.
Very important. How you live your life and how you think and conduct yourself is very important.
All right. We finally now get to leave the prison, right?
Yes, we are leaving the prison.
Okay, good. Where are we going?
We're in a mausoleum.
We couldn't go to a bowling alley, huh?
Too much noise.
Yeah, I suppose so. All right, a mausoleum. Where is the... mausoleum.
We were conducting an investigation in this mausoleum, and a GIS member, Jenny, you will hear her voice. She was showing me something on her video camera that she had gotten with her infrared camera, and you'll hear her say, "Do you see it?" And then you'll hear a voice come in that says, "Then she comes back." And then Jenny will say, right there.
Then she comes back. That part's from the other side, huh?
Yes.
Here we go. Listen for "then she comes back."
Here. Right there.
Oh, that's... at first I had a hard time hearing it, but then one more time.
Here. Right. Right there.
Oh, that's really clear, isn't it?
Yes.
It's funny. When it's immersed in with the other voice, it's very hard to pick out. But then when you have isolated it, it's so clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A lot of the voices that we get, you know, we don't realize that we're getting a voice at the time, and a lot of times we'll just talk right over it, and we're not able to use it.
Talk a little bit about your website. We've got a link now. People go to artbell.com, and they go to... You know, tonight's guest info, there will be a link to your website. When they get there, what do they find?
Well, the website right now, we do have over 100 EVPs.
Hmm.
And none of these prison voices, well, two of them have been posted on the website. The rest haven't, and we'll get those up tomorrow.
They're just too new.
Well, you know, along with some other ones we haven't posted yet. And other ones that we haven't played on the show.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Over here on the side,
We use a lot of bad language, not here on the radio, but in life, people use bad language, right?
Yes.
Even occasionally on the radio, actually. On the other side, I would think there would be bad language as well. And you've never presented me with one with bad language in it. And I'm not suggesting that you do. What I am asking is, do you get them?
Yes, we do. Not as frequently as we would think, but, I mean, we do get bad language. I think, actually, we only even present two examples on the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean...
There's a good reason to go to the website alone.
it's a good family website is what it is.
So you're not over... Well, in the raw material that you never post, do you get a high percentage, medium, low percentage, what?
I think it's kind of low compared to the amount of voices that we've gotten.
Well, maybe by the time they get over there, they figure out taking the Lord's name in vain was not a good idea.
That could be it,
hopefully.
All right. Here we go again, so to speak.
All right. Well, this one is in that same mausoleum. And in this clip, you're going to, and this is a topic you've addressed on the show before, you're going to hear Barbara say, I just can't get a handle on why there's so many children hanging around.
Right.
And you're going to hear a man say, you expect to again. Almost, and he's got a real gruff, old voice.
Do you expect to again?
Yeah, it's...
think that's an answer?
Yeah, like, do you expect to record a child again?
Right. Okay, here it is, folks.
So I can't get a handle on why there's so many little children staying around.
Yep, do you expect to again? That's obviously an older man's voice.
Yes.
No question about it. Let me follow up on that a little bit. Do you get a disproportionate number of children?
Yes. There are a lot of voices that sound like children. Well, they're definitely children.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. The only thing that I can... I've gotten a couple of different theories about it. There have been occasions when ghosts have been witnessed by different people in different stages of that ghost's life.
Uh-huh.
And almost all of us, even if we had a bad childhood, most of us will reflect back as childhood being some of our happiest times.
So, do you believe that these spirits have indeed reverted to their childhoods, or do you just think it's easier for children to speak across the veil?
See, I have a real hard time about it because I've been very surprised about the amount of children that we've recorded.
Why haven't you sent me more?
Well, it seems to bother you, too.
It does bother me, but I'm here to be bothered. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered all the time.
But I don't know. There could be that they're afraid to go on. Their energy is so much more than ours. When, you know, you hear people say, boy, I wish I had his energy, you know, talking about a little child. I really cannot answer you.
Well, if we take it at face value and assume they are children, lots of children die, just like lots of adults, unfortunately. So then have you yet come to the conclusion that at death we are, in essence, frozen in the... at the age, the physiological age, when we died?
Yes,
I believe so.
You do?
Most of the time, yes. I do think that, although, you know, there's so much that has to be learned, and as our technology advances, we think we know so much now, and then as our technology advances, we find out that what we think we know, we really don't, and we have to reanalyze everything that we thought we knew.
All right. Onward we go. Next one.
This one was really a continuation of Do You Expect to Again? This voice continued talking in with our own talking, and it says, "Hope he's got." I think he said, "I hope he's got it," but I had started talking and cut off this voice.
Okay, all right. That in itself is kind of interesting, actually. As I examine this phenomenon, here we go. Hope he's got. How many voices, has it ever happened to you that a voice opens up with a virtual entire paragraph or a whole thought that exceeds, you know, two or three or four words or even a short sentence, but, you know, something really long? What's the longest one you've ever recorded?
I think that the I Killed You, You Laughed at Me, real cute laugh.
Yeah.
And another time at a place called Fort Douglas in Salt Lake City, Utah, where we recorded a man that said, I ain't ever seen anything that can compare to this. I think those are probably two of the longest ones that we've ever recorded.
What percentage of the time, you two, and I hate to pummel you with so many questions, but what percentage of the time is whatever said responsive to something that you have said or thought versus whatever said having nothing to do or no context with regard to what you said?
You know, it'd probably be 30-40% of the time it might be responding to a question or something that we've asked, you know.
But the rest of the time, 70% or so has no apparent connection to what you're
saying.
Well,
in a way it does, because it interacts with what we're doing amongst ourselves. We may not even be referring to them at the time we're doing an investigation. It'll break in with what we're talking about.
So are you convinced that the other side can see and hear us with relatively little effort compared to our hearing or seeing them?
Definitely.
I believe that they're aware of us. They are aware of what we're doing, and I believe they can hear us.
Do you think the dead envy the living?
I don't, personally.
No?
No, unless they've moved on to wherever it is that they're, the other way around. If they've moved on to where it is they're supposed to go, I don't think they do. However,
But you don't get to hear from that group, do you?
No, and that's why I believe.
Are you all pretty sure of that? That what you're hearing, though it's coming from the other side, is coming from a place not ascended? That these are actually earthbound spirits?
Well, the places that we go and conduct investigations are known to have activity. The people that work there or live there all report having experienced ghost activity. Hmm. So there is some presence there because of the things that have taken place there. And usually a ghost will be linked to the place that it haunts.
Uh-huh. Therefore, would it be reasonable for people in my audience to conclude they would have at least a fair chance in an old family home of recording their dead parents or grandparents or great-grandparents?
Yes, definitely.
If they've experienced activity there, yes, I would say so. Because even if the adult, I've had people tell me that their children will be the ones that notice things a lot, where the parents will, you know, blow it off and not be aware of things, where the children will be aware of things.
There's actually two groups on. There's children, and there's a very old folks. The very elderly, which almost revert to a childlike state.
State of mind, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And they, too, begin to see things and hear things from the other side that people with the business of life all around them don't.
Right.
Okay, before the top of the hour, the next one, number 15, actually, I think.
All right, well, this one was recorded by Barbara, and it's called the Union Station. It's an old train station here in Ogden, Utah, and it's sort of a museum right now. And Barbara and her husband, and I believe one other person, had gone and conducted this investigation at this station, which we've since done more investigations there. But when they were inside of the station, they had walked past a police substation that was inside of the building. And when they were walking past the door, policemen had opened the door, come out, and I guess had asked, "What are you doing here?" or "What are you doing in here?"
Right.
But this woman's voice comes in before the cop's voice even comes in and says, "What are you doing in here?" almost saying the exact same thing that he did.
All right. Let's see if we can hear it. What are you doing in here? Here we go.
What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here?
Yes, very clear. What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here? Let's try it one more time. Let's see. How did I get way up there? All right. Here it is one more time.
What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here?
All of them with that eerie sound to them.
Yes, and I also recorded this on my videotape. In fact, it's louder on my videotape than it was my audio tape.
You're kidding.
I don't believe she was aware of us until they opened the door and came out. I think she was in there with the police officer.
So then videotape is probably as good a medium as audio tape?
Oh, yes. I've recorded many voices on my video.
And actually, videotape, as it passes an audio head, is nothing any different at all, really, than just a tape recorder, right?
That's right.
It really isn't.
Same magnetic tape, basically.
That's right.
Whew. That's eerie stuff. A lot of people ask about digital modes. Why you don't use a mini CD player or a CD recorder, you know, whatever, something like that. It would take out the hiss sound. And your answer to that is?
Well, first of all, I'm not aware of a lot of people who have gotten results with a digital recorder. And the other problem with that is the people that I am aware of that have got results with it run into a problem of what's called digital static, or static discharge, basically.
I can tell you why digital recording doesn't work. I know why it doesn't work. And after the break, I'll tell you and everybody else. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
Sure, for so long. So long. Listen to the strange stories. Wondering where it all went wrong. For so long. So long. Hold on, hold on, hold on to what you got.
Riders of the storm. Into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone, riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road, his brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday, let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road, yeah.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
just dead on the money, huh? All right, we'll get back to electronic voice phenomena. Voices from the other side in a moment. Stay right where you are.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I really believe that my role is to inform people, to try to bring them the truth. Yes, this is a program where we have some fun, and sometimes it's very, very unusual and strange. But I want them to understand what's happening in the world around them, whether it's climate change, economy, war, and the reasons for all these things. So that's what I think my mission is.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
All right. Once again, back to electronic voice phenomena, and you two are back on the air. I want to answer that question now. I'm firmly convinced of this, and we'll see if others agree with me or not, but here's the deal. I am convinced that voices and or apparitions or anything else from the other side, as has been proven through studies at all kinds of major universities, have connected with them high magnetometer readings, meaning there is some sort of electromagnetic or magnetic power in the area of these emissions or visions. Now, that's been recorded a zillion times. That would indicate to me that these are electromagnetic beings or electromagnetic communications, however you want to think of it. It would be unlikely to be impressed in a digital format. However, given audio recording tape and the magnetic method used in recording, it would be much more likely to appear, if not almost solely to appear, on things done on magnetic medium. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I would agree. I know a lot of the research that has been done. The electromagnetic fields and meters register quite high.
Precisely.
And we have got a correlation between our EMF meters and EVP.
Uh-huh. I'm not surprised. So do you take magnetometers on site with you?
Yes.
You do?
We do.
How often do you see a correlation?
Not as often as we like, but enough to where it shows in my mind, at least, that it is using the EMF to get on the tape somehow.
Okay. Next one. Number 15.
16, I believe.
16, you're right. 16.
This was recorded in the house that me and Roger are living in at the present time.
Oh.
And we have noticed since we have moved into this house, since I believe it last April or May, that there is at least one presence here, possibly two, and I believe that there's an animal here also. We have felt him, felt it jump up on the bed at nighttime. It feels like a cat, and it's not our cat.
Uh-huh.
We decided one night to just turn on our tape recorder and leave it on the kitchen table while we went about our business. And on this one, you're going to hear our back screen door slam, and it does sound like this, but our door did not slam, and you'll hear a man's voice say, "Hi, George."
Oh, really? Hi, Georgia. All right, here we go. Wow. Oh, my. That was a... now, did one of you all slam the door?
No.
No?
The door did not physically slam. It just picked up on the tape.
It makes me wonder if this is that was residual.
Excuse me, the creeps. Who's George?
I have no idea.
But
it was obviously greeting someone named George.
Brendan, do you know a George?
You know, I don't, but I did... In fact, tonight I came up with a theory on this that, you know, it could possibly be somebody that used to live here, and he was walking in the door expecting to see somebody named George.
Oh, there's a good thought. Oh, it does. It sounds just like somebody's really running in and saying, "Hi, George."
Uh-huh.
That's not a bad theory. All right, I want to warn everybody, we're going to get to phone lines here shortly to let you ask some questions of these two, but the next two don't look too good to me. Where were these recorded?
Well, the first one, number 17, which will be the next one.
Right.
We were invited to investigate a funeral parlor. And GIS member Barry was the one that recorded this, and on the tape you're going to hear him say, "I hope there's no bodies down here, or down there." And you'll hear the guy say, "Talk to the dead."
And interestingly enough, that's what's on the back of our shirts, the GIS shirts. It says, "The dead speak."
The dead speak. And this says, "Talk to the dead"?
Yes.
Was that an invitation, or was that a statement of fact?
You know, I really...
Well, let me hear how it was said. Okay, here we go.
"There's no body down there."
Oh, you know, to me, that almost sounded like, almost like it had a question mark at the end of it.
It does almost have that sound to it.
Talk to the dead? Kind of like that. Like... "You're going to talk to the dead," with that tone of voice, right?
Yes.
Let me hear it again.
"There's no body down there." Dead.
See, I'm wondering if it was referring to what was on the back of our shirt.
And again, the back of your shirt says...
"The dead speak."
Yeah, you're right. It could have easily been that, but that would mean they were reading the back of your shirt.
That's
right. And I believe some of them probably can read.
Some on this side, too. Okay. By the bottom of the hour, I want to clear out these last three. That should be easy, because I really want to get to some phone calls. The lines are going nuts here, of course. So on to... number 18 with some trepidation.
This one was recorded in a cemetery, and we were discussing ghosts and ghost pictures that we have taken, and I recorded this voice that sounds like a woman, and she says, "I'm completely dead," and I felt so sad for this person when I first heard this voice. It's like she just realized at that time that she was dead.
That she was dead. All right, let's hear the tone. Here we go.
"I'm completely dead."
Oh, my God.
"I'm completely dead. I'm completely dead."
Oh, that one's creepy. That's really creepy. You're right. It sounds like a realization or... repeating a realization that is that occurred pretty recently.
Yes.
You know, I almost wonder if once she saw that we were there looking for ghosts, if that's what caused her to realize that she was dead.
I suppose that could be. I wonder what it is that causes people to realize that they are dead. the lack of the ability to generally communicate with the living? Do they see us in the physical world exactly as we are, and we almost never see or hear from them except in a medium of this sort?
You know, that really could be.
I feel like when people like what we do, there's so many ghost hunters and ghost investigator groups out there. And I feel like when we go out and we are searching for these things in earnest and really trying to document this kind of thing, I think that it becomes available.
Well, as many of you as you say there are, I would say you still represent only 1/10,000th of 1% or less of the population. In other words, there aren't really that many of you. It may be a growing hobby, but I can assure you that the majority of my audience, even as we might encourage them to do so, will not go out and do this for various reasons. They're scared of it. They think it's perhaps voices that they ought not be hearing, messages they ought not be getting, and tampering they ought not be doing. There are people who, a lot, even most, who might feel that way.
You know,
so I'm glad we've got you guys, because without it, we wouldn't hear this stuff.
You know, and I'm sure that's true, that there are quite a few people like that, but that's not to say that they don't believe in it.
I understand, especially after they've heard... Sure makes me want to run out and do some recording. All right. Onward.
All right. This one was recorded by Barbara, and it was in that same cemetery as the last voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to hear is Barbara's husband, Roger, say, "Sit and wait there." And directly after him, you hear another voice say, "Sit and wait there," and a long, breathy exhale, almost like he's mocking him.
Really? All right, here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man, that may be my favorite even so far. That, at the end, that's evil. That's
well,
evil.
That's your interpretation.
Yes, it is. Sure, that's evil. I know evil when I hear it. That's kind of evil. Either that or it's just, you know, deranged. Maybe deranged.
We recorded that sound quite often, and I almost wonder if it's energy that is being used, their energy.
The sound of the energy being used, you mean?
Yes. It sounds like a breath. It could be from memory, I guess.
Let me hear it again. No. No way. No way. That's not a sudden expense of energy. That's an evil exhalation.
Evil exhalation.
That's right. There are ways of doing it. There are sighs. Like that. When you get... I can't even repeat it, right? I can't even simulate it right now. No, that was bad. Bad, bad, bad. In fact, this has been a night filled with eerie, scary stuff.
Oh, it was close to Halloween. We tried to pick out the best.
I see. Well, you did very, very well indeed. What percentage of your time, be honest here with your answer, do you spend in cemeteries and or other places owe death?
It's an extremely large percent of our time. We easily spend... probably as much time as we would spend working a full-time job, either doing this or reviewing stuff that we've already done.
Mm. How many times do you ever get in trouble with caretakers and that sort of thing?
We don't. We always get permission to go anywhere that we go. And we ask anybody who's actually thinking about going out and doing this to do the same thing. Never trespass. Always get permission. You know, basically, if you go to a cemetery, leave it better than what you found it.
Well, okay, let me try it another way then. How many times do you get permission refused when they understand what you want to do?
Very seldom. There, most of the time, owner of a location or a manager is aware that there is some kind of activity and they're interested in finding out about it themselves. The times that we have been refused has been when they are afraid of it being known, like a business. They're afraid that it'll hurt their business. I had one location that it's an old mansion and they use it now for dance rehearsals and things, and there's a lot of children that go there to perform dance, and they don't want the children to be afraid if it got out that there is a ghost there.
Yes, that makes sense. And
yet they
you have to admit it could kill business.
Well, it depends on the kind of business it is.
There are a few hotels and haunted places that virtually, you know, they make their living that way. But the average hotel, I don't think is wild to have it known they've got ghosts inhabiting.
That is true.
It's not likely to drive up the occupancy rate.
Yes, but there's so many people that flock to those kind of places in hopes of having an experience. I don't think many of the locations that refuse it realize how many people would be going there if they knew that there was ghost activity. And it's very common for hotels to have ghost activity.
Yes, I know. All right, the final one that we've got here, what do we have?
This was recorded in a cemetery.
Of course.
And it sounds like a child. And I was putting on my... We had just arrived at the location, and I was putting on my microphone, attaching it to my shirt, and starting the tape. And there's a child that says, "Can you talk with it?" And I am assuming that it was referring to the tape recorder.
You don't like children's voices either, do you?
Well, it bothers me that I have recorded so many children.
All right, here it is. Oh, man. That is dead on. Can you talk with it like a child's inquiring mind? Can there be any question about what's being said and that is a child? Can you talk with it? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't want to do that. I want to do this. Oh, that does bother you, doesn't it?
Yes. I try to rack my brain on why there would be so many children.
Just because there are so many children, that's why. But... then I guess they stay in that state. That's what gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't seem right exactly. In other words, it seems if you're old and tired and ill and sick and you die, you wouldn't think you would remain in that same state. Nor if you were not yet mature, you would not be allowed to be simply because you passed away.
I always until I started doing the recording of EVP, my idea was always that someone would come and get little children and take them where they should be.
Well,
and I've had to reassess my whole thing of thinking.
I sure hope you're right. Hold on, you two. When we come back, we'll take calls. So if you want to talk to these two, the GIS pair, this will be your opportunity.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 2001.
I think that's probably what does happen.
So then perhaps you just wake up one day and everything's normal, more or less, until you begin to realize that you're not really part of this world anymore, and that would come in perhaps subtle, mostly subtle ways, I suppose.
That really goes back to the I'm completely dead voice. I mean, yeah. That really does sound like a self-realization.
Yeah.
It really does. Caller, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Take care. All right. West of the Rockies, you are on the air with Barbara McBeth and Brendan Cook. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I have never, well, I've heard about ghost watching and this EVP before. I wonder if they've talked to theologians about the process that might be going on and what their opinion is. I think we all kind of agree that there's a spirit world out there. And I know you talk about how some of these things, like out of the prisons and whatnot, you know, how they really sound almost demonic. And then there's the other side that kind of unnerves us because it doesn't give us an easy answer because there's children. And I just wonder if there's something going on in the other side where children aren't necessarily, that they can, all these spirits can move around. And that the ones that sound like demonic that are in the prisons and things, maybe they're, that's their hell or their Hades or whatever you want to call it. Whereas the children, they can visit with us, you know, from a more enlightened or heaven sphere.
Most of them, you know, what I've noticed about the children is, and I think it's what shocks you and saddens you in a way, they sound just as inquisitive and interested in what's going on, but particularly inquisitive as little children do in life.
Yes, they do. And that...
is hard to take.
Yeah, it is very hard to take.
Well, I believe there are such things, and I don't have all the answers either. I'm a Christian woman, and I'm trying, you know, but I'm open-minded. I'm not closed-minded to the fact that what is. I think it all kind of works together for the same in the end that we'll see someday. And I just have to place my hope that the scriptures are right when they say that, you know, if we have a good spirit and believe, like you were saying, how you live and how your mindset is, and if it's placed on God and everything, that we will not suffer the same torments that we did here on earth.
But, you know, but, you go and you listen to all of these recordings that were recorded in the prison.
Right.
And... damn, they're in context. I mean, you know, they're obviously from people who were in prison and or may still be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Their mindset is there. If it's someplace else, you know, like in a heavenly sense or a good sense that their spirit would go to a better, you know, place.
Yes, it's obvious that there's a completely different kind of EVP that we... recorded in that prison compared to other locations.
Right. Well, there's probably several answers.
All right.
Maybe it's one of those alternative universes that they talk about.
Maybe. There may be a special little one for almost everybody. Thank you very much for the call. We're getting awfully short on time here. First time caller line, you're on the air with GIS. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
All right, sir.
It is amazing. The past week I've been trying to call you, asking you who these guys were because I heard them on your last show.
Well, then here you are, and now you know.
I actually had a quick question. I was interested in, I know they said you could go out and do it yourself. Is there a certain time of day? Do you have to do it during the nighttime, or can you do this during the day?
Very good question. Yes.
No, to be honest, there is no certain time of day. We do this at night because it's quieter. There's no background interference. There's not a whole lot of cars driving and excess people talking.
Yeah, good point.
But you can record EVP at any time during the day.
And will you get as much EVP during the day, do you think,
yes,
as at night?
We have. We have gone to locations in the day and have recorded just as much in the day. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Apparently without sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't guess you need that on the other side, huh?
I don't think so.
But I think I would miss it. Sleep is such an escape. I mean, if you were always walking, for example, and you never got to sleep.
But the sleep is for a physical need.
I know, but I'm used to it. Comfortable with it. You know, little slice of death, they call it, right?
Little cat naps.
Anything else, caller?
Oh, no, that was it. I appreciate her.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Right, bye. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, it's Keith from Hamilton, Ontario.
Hello.
Hello, good show as always. I always look forward to when these people are on. There's an audio clip of a prisoner, and your guest said, they said the prisoner says, always walking. I listened to it several times with headphones, and I'm convinced it said, hell is walking. If you have to, it's number 16 or 17, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
There was the sixth one, probably. It was
okay.
Number six, I'm always walking.
It sounded to me like I'm always walking.
It sounds exactly. I listened to it several times. It sounds exactly like hell is walking.
Oh, we'll have to re-listen to it again.
We'll do that. Anything else?
Oh, no, it's fine.
All right. Thank you very much. What do you two want? I mean, you're not selling anything. You're only mildly suggesting people try it for themselves or saying they can. So it's not like you're recruiting. You're not selling a newsletter. You're not selling anything at all. So what is it you want?
Really what we want...
From all of this, you know?
Is, for one, and thanks to you, to be able to present this to people and show them that this is a real phenomenon that's taking place. And like we said before, for the people who think this is something they want to do, for them to go out and try it. And other than that, you know, it's really a re-education thing, because people automatically have a preconceived notion of what a ghost is thanks to Hollywood. And, it, you know, it isn't that. Not all hauntings take place on Indian burial grounds.
Right.
Not everything's a poltergeist. You know, it's really quite different from what Hollywood portrays it as. So really all we want is for people to listen to these voices, check out our website. We will never charge for anything, never charge for access to the website. There's really no point to it.
How often has somebody sent you one of theirs that you have embraced and said, oh my, listen to that? And I know we've played a few of them on the air. Does it happen frequently now that you're on the air and have a lot of exposure?
Yes, it does. It does happen quite frequently, but there's other times we get people to email us and they tell us they don't know how to send a WAV file, and so we'll have to step-by-step go through it with them to tell them how to do it, and then by that time they can actually send us one.
Or I suppose many even send you tapes.
No, actually they haven't sent tapes yet, and I think that's really just because we're leery about giving out an address.
Yeah. I understand very well, even now more than ever. All right, well, you two, as always, it has been, I'm not going to say fun. It has been extremely educational and totally freaky, but this has been the best one yet, no question about it.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to come on.
The prison was dynamite. Catch you all later on the other side or whatever. Good night.
Good night.
Take care.
From the high desert. Ta-ta.